Church with Pastor Dave Thomas of the Air Church, 159 Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us at our new Northside campus every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our website is theairchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Dave Thomas.
Happy New Year again. I say Happy New Year again. All right, we did the offering and everything. Okay, we get ready to go. I'm going to do at least 20 minutes. We're on the radio. Give a shout of praise and welcome 107.9. Amen. We want to welcome them to our church service. Amen. I'm Pastor David Thomas. Amen. I'm senior pastor here. I'm a staff of five associate pastors. And I'm in my, 32nd year of pastoring. Amen. We teach the full faith message, full gospel. We believe in the Bible, the Word of God. We believe in the commas, the periods, amen, the question marks, the Holy Ghost, amen, casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, faith, amen, faith in God, amen, heaven when you die, amen, a hell to shun, a heaven to gain, amen. The Bible is the inerrant Word of God. Jesus is Savior and Lord. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, where he ever lived to make intercession for the saints. We believe we heirs of God, and we joint heirs with Jesus. According to Romans 8:17, we believe that. Hallelujah. We believe it from Genesis to Revelation. Glory to God. We believe in the coming return of Jesus Christ. We believe there's going to be a rapture. The rapture is going to be 7 years. Jesus is going to come at the end of the 7 years. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We believe in divine healing. We believe that God heals the sick and he raised the dead. He opened blind eyes. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We believe in the love of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We believe in being saved by grace through faith. By grace through faith. We believe all that stuff. Amen. And so our teaching is built around that, the inerrant Word of God. Glory to God. So we're leaving nothing out. Amen. If it's in there, we believe it. Amen. But we also believe in the proper interpretation and understanding of it, so the men and women of God may be thoroughly furnished for victory. Amen. I forgot, I'm talking to the radio listening audience. So come and join us. Be a part of our services. We love you. Amen. Hallelujah. Whether you're from out of town or wherever you're from, at some point you need to grow into your destiny. At some point you need to quit drifting around, bouncing around, being lazy of the things of God. At some point in your life, you got to get serious, real serious about eternity and about the things of God. Praise God. I don't care what you used to be, whether you used to be a Hindu, whether you used to be a Muslim, whether you used to be Hare Krishna, whether you used to be a Mormon, whatever it was. You need to get know the truth according to the scriptures. Amen. Amen. Somebody's switching out Bibles on you. You better study which Bible is the inerrant Word of God. Hallelujah. I remember T.L. Osborne and his wife, Daisy Osborne, some years ago, they were ministers. They went abroad throughout the nations evangelistically. And they went out and they had a great failure because they ran into all of these different religions and they would preach the gospel and they would tell the people, this is the gospel. They had their Bible. The people hold up and say, no, this is the gospel. And so around the world, people have all these different Bibles that they believe. You better come up with your answer, which one is the real one. This is the real one here. I researched the Bible and compared it with others and studied it. This is the inerrant Word of God. Hallelujah. But I had gotten saved before that, and salvation is real. We're the only one offer of salvation. Amen. We don't offer no virgins when you die, none of that kind of stuff. Amen. Our Savior is alive. He come out the grave. We the only one with a Savior that's alive, that's still alive to come out the grave. I was not dead. He died, but he's not dead no more. Amen. I don't mean to hurt no feelings, but amen, there's some things that hurt a whole lot more than feelings if you miss this truth. I say glory be to God. And so we want to be sure and give you real love, some tough love, love you enough to tell you the truth. So anyway, like I said, all that's in, invite the people out. If you have your Bible, let's make this confession. Say, this is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I'm a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise again. Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles over there to the book of St. Luke's, and we're in the Christmas season, and last night we were preaching about Christmas, and for the most of you, Christmas, most people celebrate Christmas on the Sunday closest to the 25th, and you get a Christmas preaching message, and then you go on to something else. The next week, you done forgot about the baby. Amen. But since you got to look at Christmas in a different light, amen, Christmas is a holy day, not a holiday. Most people have it as one of the biggest days off. More people get more time off around Christmas than any time. And so I'm thinking people worshiping their days off work rather than the baby and the God that sent him. Hallelujah. Say, God can distinguish where your heart really is. Oh, Christmas is not about the trees and the candy and the mistletoe. It's not about all that. Amen. And it's not your birthday. It's his birthday. So you better buy your gift. Amen. I'm good for gift. That's good. I know you ought to do it. But do not lose sight. Don't get it twisted. The gift is Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Says you're the look. If you don't know the value of something, the devil will steal it and you won't know it's gone. I said, if you don't know the value of things, many times the devil will steal from you and you won't know it's gone. And so here with the life of Jesus, we talked about the miracle aspect of the birth of Jesus. We talked about two men. It was two men, two women, and two boys. Say that, two men, two women, and two boys. Amen. And the Holy Ghost. And so we shared some of this last night in this repetition. Because you had I didn't get over all the way through the story on the birth of Jesus, because there's so much surrounding it. And you, many of our young people, you've grown up and you're familiar with Jesus, familiarity with Jesus is the baby in the manger, and the Christmas story, and Mary, and everything else. Well, it's a lot of details surrounding it that forms a pattern that you want to look at. Now, I'm going to probably jump over to some other scriptures with you, but I just have a certain amount of time. So, in Luke chapter 1, in your reading, in your own study, I'll give you a chance to read through that. It's a long chapter, and it talks about Zechariah. The male characters here is Zechariah, and of course, Joseph. You got Joseph, the guy Mary's going to marry, and Mary and Joseph, they haven't been intimate, and Mary's about to be pregnant. But see, here again, in the story of usually when I'm going fast, I can just do it without having you turn and just tell you where to turn. Okay, in the story of Abraham and Sarah, which is a very, very popular scripture as it relates to faith in God. Abraham is the father of our faith. Amen. Amen. God told him, he said, look at the stars in the sky. He didn't have any children. He said, what will you give me seeing I'll go childless? And he showed him all the stars in the sky and said, these will be your descendants, your children. And that's us. We're children of Abraham because of faith in God. Now, faith in God, you have Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. Now, in order to have faith in God, you got to know God. Your knowledge of God is revealed in the Old Testament where he reveals himself. Now, when we get into the Gospels, Jesus is on the earth, and he's teaching, he's preparing the disciples for something. Now, I want you to get ready. The next big event, which is going to be, you know it as Easter, but it's Resurrection Sunday. Now, these two events, Christmas, or, you know, the birth of Jesus at Christmas, and Easter, Resurrection Sunday, is when he's born and when he dies. Well, inside that period of time, the revelation of what God is doing and what he's making. He's creating something that's never been before. You are people that's never been except when he made Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve fell in the garden, and they were supernaturally made, amen? And so man had been in a state of death until Jesus was raised from the dead, amen, and salvation became available, which is over there. That's in the gospel as well when Jesus ascended on high. All right, so then the Holy Ghost, somebody say the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came in earth. Now, one of my purposes is for you as a man or woman of God, have a practical understanding and acceptance and sensitivity to the working and ministry of the Holy Spirit in the earth while you are alive. Can you say that again, Pastor? I don't know. You're going to get it off the tape. Amen. But you're to have a working knowledge and understanding and a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Now, you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, God the Son came into the earth, amen, on Christmas. But when he came into the earth, he didn't come for his earthly ministry. He didn't come for his earthly ministry. When he came into the earth, he came for a specific mission, and he was equipped for that specific mission. Amen. Now, John the Baptist, amen, who was the son of Elizabeth and Zacharias. Zacharias was the high priest. When you look at chapter 1, it tells you Zacharias was in the temple praying. And so Zacharias, the angel Gabriel appeared. Say that with me. Say, two men, two women, and two boys. All right, now, so the angels are participating in this, and what this is designed to do is to get you to a comfort level in knowing God. You're going to know God. God does things a certain way. God's not trying to hide things from his kids. Now, even though here, man hadn't been redeemed yet. He hasn't been redeemed yet. So God had to work with man in a fallen state to restore him and renew him and redeem him to get him back. But he had to get Jesus to that cross. That baby had to go to the cross. See, although we celebrate the birth of Jesus, it's not that baby that went to the cross. Because Jesus had to grow up and accomplish some things and get to that cross. After he accomplished them, he had to die so God to raise him from the dead to make possible, amen, what you walk in, what you and I walk in as believers. But he had to be born. And so his birth was, the supernatural birth of Jesus is something. Because he says, listen, in many of the religions of the world, you can get talked out of Jesus. People talk you right out of Jesus. Well, you know, I don't know. You know, man wrote the Bible and I don't know. You know that Jesus was like just a man. You know, just like, what are you talking about? Where'd you get that? Well, the carnal man will come up with that stupidity if it doesn't have the facts. If you don't have the facts, you'll understand it. You run into anybody with it, ask them about the Holy Ghost. Say, what about the Holy Ghost? The what? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, amen, the third person of the Godhead. Okay, so here in the Gospel, let me go on. Here in the Gospels, Zacharias, when the angel Gabriel, what was his name? Gabriel, the archangel, appeared, hallelujah, to Zacharias, amen, and he told him what was going to happen. Well, why did he go to Zacharias? Because God works in a family. He's going to work through the head. He's going to work through the man first. He's going to work through the man. He's going to tell the man. God's not going to come in your house and tell your wife nothing unless he tell you. He's not going to violate order he set up. He's not going to violate protocol that he established. Come on, somebody. So that's why you women, you know, you pray for your husband. Pray him to get in line, amen, so y'all can move into your destiny. Well, let me go on. That's another subject. Hallelujah. Well, at least, you know, you got to pray and believe God for one first. Get to one, pray him in, amen. You know, pray him in. Hallelujah. Look at his neighbor and say, you got to pray him in. Amen. Believe it. When you start praying a husband in, God's going to tell you some things you need to straighten up. When you're going to pray a wife in, God's going to tell you some things you need to straighten up. Because he's not going to send nobody into no foolishness. He's not going to send nobody's daughter in to be put up with your foolishness to raise you. You didn't get raised. He's going to send a woman to raise you, make you a man. No, you got to get it together. That's why we got to preach to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all seen that sign that real men serve Jesus. Amen. Anyway, you know, the challenge with serving Jesus as a man is the fact that what's so tough about the church and the Bible is God's going to make you face yourself. He's going to make you face yourself. And many men don't want to face themselves. You got to get out of pride. You can't justify you now, not with God. Come on, somebody. Well, I ain't that bad. I ain't that bad. Look at all the preachers, what all they doing. Look at all that. Yeah, face you. You got to face you. You ain't facing them. You facing you. And so when you face yourself, that's when you're ready to grow and to move. And say, you know what, God? You're right. God already know it right. Know how I got on that? That was for the men out there that making excuses for not going to church and not serving God. Amen. The way up is down. Somebody said the way up. It's down. Keep on saying. Say, the way up is down. Say it one more time. The way up is down. Say it one more time. The way up is down. You're going to be raised. You're going to go down. You're going to yield to God. You're going to tell him he's right about you, that you are a sinner, and you are due to works of the devil who your father is, and you got to yield all that. You got to go down. You can't be a man unless you go down. Not with God. You're not ready to leave no woman and nobody else until you submit yourself to God. Trying to run a life. The Word of God says it doesn't exist in man to direct his own life. You can't guide your own life. You don't know tomorrow. Only God knows tomorrow. Hallelujah. One more time. Say, the way up is down. Well, yeah, shake off that pride. That was just a little word for somebody. Whew. Pastor Gunner was praying the Holy Ghost. Speaking to my brothers out there. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, them preachers, there's something wrong with your boss. You ain't quit, have you? You ain't quit the job, have you? You still in there trying to get that check, ain't you? Let's go on. All right, so anyway, we got to move for the sake of time. The word says, you're in Luke. I'm going to go somewhere specifically in Luke. So anyway, Gabriel appeared to Zacharias, and then Zacharias, he couldn't comprehend what the angel was telling him, so he was shut up and couldn't talk. When you don't know what you're talking about, shut up, be quiet. You ought to be quiet. So he had to be quiet. And then, of course, the angel appeared, of course, and he told him and his wife were going to have a baby. Now, the thing was, they were too old to have children. They're too old to have children. So when you have two people too old to have children, you got three miracles. One in him, one in her, and the baby. Everything requires a miracle. Like Abraham and Sarah. All that, what's a miracle? Override natural law. Say it with me, say override natural law. See, the carnal mind, you want to be able to explain everything, how it's going to happen, once you start trusting in God, God overrides natural law. He's able to bring things into existence from the spirit into the natural. And this is it. Otherwise, how can Mary have a baby and she haven't been with a man? That can't happen. That's against natural law. That's not possible. That is not naturally possible to have a baby without a man if you're a woman. That baby was born. Come on, somebody. God, say this with me. Say, God is not limited by natural law. Now, that's the stuff the scientists study. It's true, but God's not limited by the override natural law. So anyway, and you've tapped into the dimension as a believer because you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. You live in the dimension that supersedes natural law. Okay, let's go back to Jesus. Let's go back to the baby. So anyway, so she got pregnant, had a baby, and the word said the baby was filled with the Holy Ghost. What's the baby's name? John. Now, the angel told... I got to move quicker than this. The angel told told him his name would be John, but they wanted to name him Zacharias, and so his name was John. But anyway, with Jesus, let me read to you about Jesus. Somebody say a destiny. Now, we've been on this a couple of weeks. Most of the time, you know, as preachers, we off Christmas. We've been off Christmas last week. But folk haven't got it. We hadn't covered these scriptures. Look over to Luke chapter 1 and verse number, go down to verse number 29. So, 28, 27, 26. I was listening to the radio broadcast. Come on, 6 o'clock. I listened to the radio broadcast. I said, boy, look at this. You're going from one verse to another. That's okay. We just want to get it. All the word is full. No word of God is void of power. So in verse number 26, and the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. Was sent where? Sent from where? From where? God sent the angel. He sent Gabriel. He was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was what? Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was what? Underline, notice it said the virgin's name was David. In case you got any doubt about it, the Bible says the virgin's name was Mary. Amen? I said David was Mary. All right. And the virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. Somebody say favor. Somebody say favor. Underline that in your Bible. Favored. Favored means you're in position to receive the blessings of God, the manifested blessings of God. You have inherited the manifested blessings of God that are designed to accrue in your behalf, even as they override natural law, natural expectation, and natural possibilities. What? Favor in the Bible, here to the word, means God has, when God favors you, you are able to access. And you have become heir to all that God can provide, and he's not limited to natural law. That means God can get it to you however he wants to get it to you. And it doesn't matter about nobody else's opinion. Well, I just don't see how that could be possible. It don't matter what you see. What matters is what God said, not what you see. And so the word of God says she was favored. She was, you know what, say this with me, saints, if you would say, I have favor with God. and man. Now, why do I go through this? Because here's the thing. As men and women of God, you've been trained to think. And without realizing, I'm going to get a copy of the CD. It's called The Sacred Territory of Your Thought Life. The Sacred Territory of Your Thought Life. As I minister, I'm interacting with how you've been trained to think and what you've been trained to think and what you already believe. That's what's going on here. Now, personally, I'm not doing it, but the Holy Spirit through me is engaging your thought life. And he's presenting information. Amen. Because the word says, as a man thinketh, what? So is he. So that's where the transformation comes, as the renewal of the mind. But here, the word says, this is in the sixth month, and she said, she's highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among who? Women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind, what manner of salutation should this be? Listen, okay, I'm about through. Here's where I want to go. I'll go down here where the destiny is explained about Jesus. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name what? Jesus, okay? He shall be great. Now, let's read this. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Okay? Now, the word says that he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, Mary's question had to do with her having a baby. It didn't have to do with the destiny. Whether that wasn't where her concern was. Her concern was, I got to have a baby. I got to have this baby for him to do all of this stuff. In order for him to do all of this stuff, I've got to have a... How can this be? Somebody says, how can this be? Say, this is what happened when prophecy comes to you, or you look at what the scripture, the question is, how can it be? The danger is, don't stop at the how can it be. Because you do not know or understand how it can be, don't leave yourself there. Say, nevertheless, be it unto me according to thy word. That's when you say, I believe God. Never mind how he's going to do it. I believe God. I believe I receive. Say that with me. Say, I believe I receive. Amen? Now, this is so you won't cancel what God has already spoken, is already made up his mind to do. So Mary said, how can this be? And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom shall be no end. Now, Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Question mark. Now, I want you to get this. The destiny that was prophesied about Jesus, it hadn't taken place in the 33 years Jesus was living. We're talking about the baby now. You know the story of Jesus living, dying, going to the cross, being buried and raised from the dead. That stuff hadn't taken place yet. That's not happened yet. As a matter of fact, the conflict was the fact that it didn't take place, and it was like, well, he didn't do what he was supposed to do. No, because you're not in the time when it's going to happen. Say, if it's come out of God's mouth, it's coming into the earth, if you say it. You say, well, how do I know? See, if you say, well, it don't look like it's going to happen, well, you must be looking at something else. You're looking at the wrong thing. The chances are great that you misunderstand it than that the scripture's wrong. The scripture's right. So when you look at it, the immediate thing occurring was her getting pregnant and having the baby. How can this be? How can I have a baby? I haven't been with a man. Okay. Then the angel said this. And he answered. Let's read it together, 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Lord have mercy. Now, I think I'll probably close out right here. It's so much about, see, this Christmas. See, you're looking at Christmas as this holiday, this one day. No, This Christmas is a holy day. This is a holy season right here. Christmas is a holy season because so many things took place. These things tell you things about the future. So when this angel said this to her, and he explained to her how it's going to take place that she's going to have this baby, amen, and how it's going to occur, you've got to look at the prophecy that took place about what Jesus was going to do. It was in these different time periods. Somebody said time periods. Okay, these dispensations. So they had to be spoken. Now, actually, the angel was saying to her what had already been prophesied about Jesus. Remember Elijah over there in Isaiah 53? He said some things that he prophesied what Jesus was going to do. Amen. Isaiah 53, he talks about Jesus. Well, the angel is confirming the prophecy that this is the same God. Now, when you look at knowing God, and God had to redeem man back, the prophecy here reveals it. So the angel is confirming it. Now, okay, hold it a minute. Somebody say prophecy. God didn't allow the angelic host the privilege of prophesying to us. The prophecy that this angel is talking about here, this revealing, is a repeating of what the Bible had already been released into the earth by Isaiah. The angel is not going to initiate a new prophecy. The angel is going to find somebody and tell them, and they have to say it. They have to say it. Okay, let's go. That's another subject. All right, but somebody say the angels. See, the angels, they operate in a dimension, and they can't cross over in your dimension. Angels operate in a dimension, and there are rules as to what they can do in your dimension. The angel delivered a message to Zechariah, didn't he? He could do that. He's authorized to do that. But what needs to be done, that the angel didn't get Elizabeth pregnant, did he? He couldn't do that. That's a violation. He can't interface with them like that. He can give the information and get cooperation because he said God sent him. He's a messenger. Let's go further. Amen. You know, the angels speak to you, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. There's something you have to do because you're the establishing witness in this dimension. That's why the devil won't get you to talk stupid. If he can get you to say it, you can destroy it. You have an authority you're not aware you have. He want to get you to hate, get you to put down, even yourself. Many people's problem is their own mouth. Well, you know, things never work for me. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So anyway, quickly, he said, and behold, verse 136, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. After the angel repeated the prophecy about Jesus and his destiny. Somebody say his destiny.
Hello, this is Pastor Thomas. That's all the time we have for today's message. I'd like to personally invite you to come out to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. We're in our new location at 159 Clark Road, right off of North Main Street, just past the Hexer Drive overpass. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us for The Air Church, the live worship service from The Air Church, 159 Clark Road on Jacksonville's north side, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us again next Sunday morning at our new location in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. or join us at 6 p.m. next Sunday for the worship service of the Air Church here on Praise 107.9. For more information, go to www.theairchurch.org. That's theairchurch.org.